Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz to Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
And we are going to be covering Game of Thrones, Season 4, Episode 3, Breaker of Chains, and Season 4, Episode 4, Oathkeeper.
The other one. And we have our usual caveats today, and those are that we are definitely going to be cursing. There will be spoilers. And we are having things to drink. So, Natalie, since you're home, what are you having to drink?
I'm having a Rossini, which is Prosecco and some strawberry mix.
Good.
What are you having?
She's smiling. Oh, my God. You're the one who gets on me by the fact that it's not a visual medium.
Well, Mom, I was filling the time. I was waiting for you to go.
Oh, okay. But you like it.
I do. I love it. It's one of my favorite cocktails. Yeah. It's, I think, probably my favorite cocktail. Like, I don't really like liquor. And so I do give things a try whenever you have them, for the most part, whenever I'm home. But most of the time, I'm down for just a Prosecco with something else kind of cocktail, like a fizzy cocktail, like a mimosa, Bellini. And a Rossini. So those are what my go-tos are. Mostly Bellini and Rossini.
So technically speaking, a Rossini is considered to be a form of mimosa. And it has, you can put the sugar rim on it to make it more festive for the season.
Just because you did a rim this time does not mean mine should be shamed for not having one.
I could have
put one on. You rarely ever do a rim. So why is it so bad that I didn't have one this once?
Not because I could have done one for you. And it would have been like super fluffy and
cute. And I also would have gotten a lot of sugar all over my lips. But we're not going to deal with that. What did you have?
Not a visual medium. So I'm having something. It's called a Winter Wonderland. I made this cocktail because it has the blue of the White Walker blue eyes, which is appropriate, as you will see, for these two episodes, or mostly the second of the two episodes, episode 4. But it's a Winter Wonderland. It has a splash of blue curacao, triple sec, and I used Prosecco. And it's got this great rim on it. It looks very festive, wintry, party. It's, you make it with marshmallow fluff and those little nonpareils, or those little sugar balls. So it looks like it's got like a snow sprinkly thing on it. And you also put some of the glitter sugar in it to make it a little more sparkly, magical, and in this case, creepy and mysterious. So that is what I'm having. I actually like it. It could have taken a tiny bit of simple syrup maybe to make it a little bit better as a drink. But I like it. And I think that the marshmallow fluff just makes it better. So, all right. What are our sections for Season 4, Episode 3, Breaker of Chains?
Of change? Breaker of change. Let's see. Sections are Marine, King's Landing, Night's Watch, which kind of goes with Wildling Camp. We'll put them together because that's the way it should be. And Road. Where should we start? Road?
Road's pretty
good. Okay. Also, you have like marshmallow fluff. This is the second time this week I've had to do this for you.
It's also very short. So, the Hound and Arya are on the road. Surprise!
On the way to the Eyrie.
On the way to the Eyrie, and they're discussing what's going to happen. Like, Arya seems very concerned that they're going the wrong direction. The Hound's like, look, I want to get rid of you as soon as possible, so we're going in the right direction. And she's like, well, what are you going to do? And he's like, after you get rid of me. And he's like, well, after I get paid, I could join the Second Sons, or, you know, I think I'd fit in a place like that.
She wants to go to Braavos.
She wants to go to Braavos, and she says, I have a friend in Braavos. And the Hound's like, I doubt it. Yeah. And so they have, I mean, the way the exchanges go, or the acting is really good.
A farmer and his daughter come across them. Arya has a lie ready to go. Like, oh, this is my father. He got injured fighting for the Tullys. And so, because she knows they're still in the Riverlands and they're probably going to be more Tully people who are loyal than Lannister people. So she went with the right one, and she went with Tully. And so they briefly discuss how the Riverlands and North have gone to hell. And it's all thanks to the Boltons and the Freys. So just to be nice, the farmer and his daughter decide to take them in for the night, feed them some rabbit stew, and give them a place to sleep.
Right. And they talk about the farmer is clearly a very religious man. And he talks about how they've had a lot of raiding and he's been very worried for his daughter's safety. And he doesn't feel like he's able to take care of her.
He feels like they need protection.
Right.
And so he asks the hound to stay with them, to protect them, and also to work on the farm with them. And the hound agrees.
But the whole time Arya's like, you aren't being serious about this. You're not going to stay and be a farmer.
Yeah, that's
this is horrible bullshit. And he's like, yeah, fair pay. Okay.
Fair wages for fair work. And so Arya wakes up the next morning and hears the little girl scream and an argument. She walks out and she finds out that the hound has stolen silver, basically all of this guy's money from him.
And he's beating him up.
Yes, and push him over. And Arya is like, I'm so sorry. And then goes and like rants at him about how he, why would you do that? That's awful. And he's like, dead men don't need silver. They're going to die in the winter if it's not the raiders who kill them. And she's just like, you're just a spiteful old bitch. You just suck.
Well, his thing is they're weak and they're not going to survive. She's like, you don't know that.
And he's like, yeah, I do.
And so, I know how the world is. And then he has this line of, how many Starks are going to have to be beheaded before you get it through yours that you just don't know anything about the world?
You know, I just realized that I missed Dragonstone in the...
I've got Dragonstone. In the sections?
Sections.
I got Dragonstone in the sections.
Let's get before. Dragonstone over with.
Oh, wait. Well, yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Dragonstone is very short. Also, Stannis has gotten word about Joffrey and he's very excited. He thinks that he's done it all, but he's pissed at Davos because Davos got rid of his source of the blood magic, which was Gendry.
It does make me wish that they actually went in order of the leeches because he went Robb, then Baelon, then Joffrey. And so I was thinking to myself, do they kill Baelon? Right now? I'm like, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
And so,
spoiler.
Who fucking cares about Baelon Greyjoy? Care about Baelon Greyjoy,
you should.
I don't know what's wrong
podcast.
With you.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Sure.
So, all right. But anyway, moving on. So yeah, no, they. Stannis is like all about it. Then they discuss like, hey, you need more troops, and that's part of Stannis's thing. It's like, I need more of these people to die off so I can steal their soldiers. And it's not enough people. And Davos hasn't recruited, significant houses to their cause. And so Davos is like, look, we could hire the Golden Company. And he's like,
a group of sellswords from Essos.
Right. They're sellswords. He scoffs at it.
They're also running out of money.
Right. They're running. And he's like, they're running out of money. They're running out of time. And Davos is, thinking on it, like, hey, if I don't come up with something good, Stannis is going to do something extra dumb. So he goes back to his office, his Hand of the King.
No, he goes back to Shireen's room.
I think it's, well, she is there. She's waiting for him to have a lesson. She's pissed because he's late. She makes fun of him. You can't move your lips when you read. That's what little children do. She gives him a new book about the first sword of Braavos. And they discuss a couple of things about Stannis. And Davos has great lines in this. And one of the things he talks about, because she says the first sword of Braavos, it's got piracy and it's got other stuff. And he's like, well, I was a smuggler. I wasn't a pirate. If you're famous for being a smuggler,
you're not doing it right.
And she says something and he says, your father, you're like your father. He lacks the finer points of bad behavior.
Well, no, you're like your father. You're so stubborn.
But he also
says the thing about lacking a finer point of bad behavior.
Lacks an understanding of the finer points of bad behavior. Then
he has an idea. He has an idea to go to the Iron Bank of Braavos.
Right. Because the first swords of Braavos are all paid by the Iron Bank. And that is what gets him thinking about the Iron Bank of Braavos. those.
Indeed. Let's go to Marine. Yep. Daenerys shows up at the city of Marine, and they line up outside the walls, and the city sends a single rider as a champion for Marine, and they want her to send her champion, and they want them to fight.
And then they draw straws.
The guy, well, first of all, the guy insults her and calls her like the daughter of a whore, that kind of stuff. But in like the made up language, I think that I read somewhere or heard somewhere that they're just doing the whole like rant from Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Your mother smelled of elderberries.
Your mother was a hamster and your father smelled of elderberries.
Yes, that
nice. And then he pisses on the ground. Mm-hmm. And she's, you know, somewhat insulted, but she's like, I have something to say to Marine, but we need to get rid of this guy first. And who's going to be my champion? And so
Grey Worm goes forward. She's like, no, you're the leader of the Unsullied. I can't spare you. And then Barristan comes up and is just like, I'll do it. And she's like, no, you're my trusted advisor. You know way more about this than I do. And then Jorah comes up and is like, I've been here since the beginning. I'll fight for you. And she's like, no, but that's exactly why I won't let you, because you're too trusted an advisor for me to let you go. And then everyone is just like waiting for Daria. Daria's like, I'll do it. I'm expendable. My mother was a whore. I don't really care. I'll just do it. And she's like, great idea.
And I will say this, and it comes up in the books. I know I haven't talked about the Daario character that much. She's very, very attracted to Daario in the books. But Daario in the books is kind of like, he's this very flamboyant character. He wears brightly colored clothes. He has a dyed red or yellow mustache. That's very large, like it's the biggest mustache of all the people, and it's like he's far more appealing in this. And we had a discussion when we were watching that, and you're kind of like, oh, I like Daario, and I'm like, I don't think you'd like Daario in the books much at all.
I don't give a shit about Daario in the books. I care about Daario in the show,
and this is why you care about Daario in the show,
because he's so fucking cool. He is. All right, so what happens is that he's like, all right, I'll be the champion. Daenerys is like, that's a great idea. I will not stop you. And I think she's mostly just trying to prove a point to Daria that he needs to stay in line. And he's a new kid on the block. Like, it just kind of go with it.
But he also has to prove himself. And he does.
And so Daario is the champion chosen, and he is kind of just waiting for the other champion to get on his horse and come to him. And Daenerys is like, okay, well, do you want a horse? And then he's like, no, horses are more dumb than humans. And she's like, okay. And she just kind of stands back, and he just gets his knife out.
Yeah, he doesn't even draw it until like the last possible minute.
He kisses it, gets it ready to throw. And he throws it, and it hits the horse's eye that's charging towards him. The horse falls. Then he grabs a dagger out from like his leg or something like that, and he just slices the guy's head off. And he barely moves from his spot, if at all. It is the coolest shit. I love Daario. It's
fucking awesome.
And then he also pees to insult the slavers, so that's funny too. So also Daenerys needs a megaphone, because clearly nobody can hear her. But she's yelling at the people of Marine, mostly the slaves, talking about how all of the people that she is, about all of the free slaves who now like stand with her. And she's like, you can be free too. You just have to, but it's your freedom that to give yourself, not for me to give you.
And then she has these trebuchets full of
catapults.
Same thing.
I know. I was translating for the people who don't know what a fucking trebuchet is.
Okay. And she catapults into the city these casks full of broken neck chains that are slavers' chains. And the slaves look at them
for inspiration. This could be you. And it's
breaker.
Great. Chains. Let's go.
But again, yes, super short. And yet it is the title of the episode.
Let's go to the Night's Watch. Sam gets teased by Alistair and literally everybody, because they don't believe that he actually killed a White Walker. He also brought Gilly, so they're making fun of him because of that. He goes to Gilly, and he's concerned for her.
One of the things that happens right at the beginning, though, is that you see, I think it's Locke being walked around or whatever, and told the backgrounds of the people who are there.
Raper,
Night Son.
Yeah, thief, raper.
Yeah, it's like a lot of rapers.
And then because Locke is undercover for the Boltons and to get intel about the Stark boys, whether or not they're there, and if they are there, kill them. And he's really just supposed to be the inside man.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sam is concerned for Gilly's safety, and she appreciates that. He wants to protect her from the Night's Watch rapers. And he's like, how can I do that?
Take her to Moles Town and put her in a whorehouse. There's a good idea.
It's an inn that provides whores. It's not the same thing. But what he does is he gets her job
cleaning
and cooking. And they ask, hey, well, she can make a lot more money if she whores herself out. And he's like, no other work. Absolutely not. You're not doing that shit. Absolutely not. So then he goes to Gilly and he's like, all right, I'm getting you settled into your room. And she's like, why would you do this? But we need to stick together. And blah, 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 blah. Complaining about him getting her a job and keeping her safe from rapists. Like, you've been raped your whole life. Why would you want to stay around rapers?
Because it's rapists of a different kind. She does not, I think she just doesn't believe him. Like, the rapist that she knew was a rapist she knew. It's her dad. Because
she's only been around one guy her entire life.
Right, exactly. So she doesn't know how men are.
Stupid.
She is stupid and annoying, and she's stupid and annoying in this episode.
All right, but Wildling Camp. There's an unimportant child named Ollie.
He's not that unimportant,
but he was unimportant at the time. Because he wasn't given a name until the next episode. But Ollie watches his father get killed in his village, be slaughtered by the Fens and by the wildlings.
Yeah, he sees Ygritte, he sees Tormund, but mostly the Fens. The Fens are like acting like they're going to kill him.
Well, yeah.
And they're telling him they're going to eat his parents.
Yeah, his parents were already dead. But he's like, yeah, no, we're going to eat your mama and we're going to eat your papa. And then he's like, go tell the Night's Watch that. And he like sends him on his way to go warn the Night's Watch, which I don't know why. I guess just to build anticipation.
It's a strategic move. Draw him out. Come save these villagers who need your protection.
No, they're not going to do that, but sure.
There's foreshadowing for you.
Either way, the kid Ollie makes it to Castle Black, and everyone is concerned since they only have 100 men rather than 1,000 that John said that they had. John also says that they need to stay and defend the wall rather than being drawn out. And the Rangers, some Rangers returned from beyond the wall, which are Ed and Gren. And John, they find out that they were being like held captive by the mutineers, and they escaped somehow magically. And
John's like, shit.
Yeah, crap. I told the if Mance reaches that camp, that he will know that they did never had 1,000 men at the wall, and he will be able to like adjust his strategy for that.
Right, and they will all know the weaknesses of Castle Black as well. And he's like, we've got to kill them. I mean, they're 60 miles out. We're gonna have to go out there and kill them. And of course, Sir Alistair's like, no, we need to stay here and get prepared.
But they also want justice for Mormont and all that stuff. He's okay.
The next episode.
Yeah, there's a whole it's a weird line of like, okay, well, I'm okay with going several like 70 miles north of the wall to go and like, I don't know, defend Mormont's honor and to make sure that they don't get the information. The wildlings don't get the information.
That's John's thing. It's like, shit, I lied to them and they're gonna know.
I love that he lied too. I think that's so funny to me because it's like, even if he did tell them 1,000 or 100, they would still go at them with all their might. So, and also their might is 100,000 strong. And so I don't know why John thinks that like giving them a smaller number would have helped that. Like they would just be like, all right, well, we can do this more easily. Maybe it's just giving them time to gather more like supplies and forces, but like it's not going to change the fact that this is a losing battle.
Right. So like he had told them that there was another manned fort other than Castle Black and the East Watch.
No.
There was a third one. He did. He said there was.
No, he said there were three that were manned, but he didn't say that they're focused on Castle Black anyway.
Right.
So it doesn't even matter.
But they're also getting their like ways in and stuff like that, which would be
nice. Yeah, so that's more
and what the defenses are and how few people there are, and that's, you know, bad.
All right, King's Landing. In the aftermath of the wedding, Sansa is smuggled out of the city by the Fool.
She got
a random cape somewhere. Like, where did she get that fucking cape?
I think Dantes had it in his hand, and he like gave it to her while they run away. But we open this episode right at the Joffrey dying part.
I laughed.
Which, right, again, great death, Jack Gleeson.
Good.
Well done.
Cheers, Jack Gleeson.
But we open on dead Joffrey, and Cersei's like, we have got arrest Tyrion right now. Where's Sansa? Sansa is part of this.
And which is fair. Yeah. I mean, it's a fair yes.
Yeah.
Even though we know it's not technically true.
And Tywin's demanding that, you know, they shut down the city, that nobody leaves. Dantos rushes Sansa away to a little robot that he has on a beach, and rows her out into the fog. I was surprised they did not run into Gendry. I was kind of disappointed because where the fuck is Gendry?
He's rowing.
He's rowing for a very, very, very long time.
Well, to be fair, like, his entire goal was to just blend in at King's Landing again. It's not like we would see him.
Still disappointed.
I know. Gendry. I love Gendry too, but it's not like he's meeting up with anybody. Anyway.
He rows to a ship, but the sails are furled on the ship, so they don't know whose ship it is.
It's Littlefinger's ship.
It turns out.
And so Sansa gets up on the boat, and Littlefinger's like, hey Sansa, call me Peter. And,
I am a little Peter.
Okay. And the Fool's like, hey, can I get my payment now? And he's like, yeah, totally. And he has two guys with crossbows, so, like, shoot him
in the chest. Yep.
Anyway, Sansa's like, why did you kill him? And he's like, well, he knew information that we didn't want him to know. Like, that's why. And also, that necklace he gave you, yeah, no, that's fake. I made that like several days ago. Like, that's new. That's right, not a family heirloom. He only did it for money, and I don't trust people like that, even though, right, I am one of those people.
Right, he's a drunken fool is what he says. And the drunkenness, I think, is a big deal for Littlefinger. Mm-hmm. But he throws the fake necklace into the boat with dead guy. And he then,
I also would like to point out that Sansa will go with this random fool guy and not the Hound or Littlefinger. Yeah. Like, people that she actually kind of knows, but she'll go with the guy that she saved once and has talked to once on one occasion.
It was an emergent occasion though, because Joffrey's dead.
Anyway, we go over to Marjorie. Marjorie's confused about her role now that, like, Joffrey's dead, but she's kind of queen, but she's not. It's weird. But they didn't consummate, which makes her not the queen. It's a whole thing.
Right, and Olenna's talking to her, and she's like, look, I'm going to have to be leaving town.
Tommen's also easier.
And Tommen's going to be easier. Your prospects have improved. This next one should be easier. Then we cut to Tom and Cersei and Tywin at Joffrey's body in the Sept. Tom is being grilled, basically, by Tywin. What makes a good king?
And they eventually get to wisdom. We don't need to go through every single one of them.
Fine. That's fine. I thought it was a good sequence.
It's a good sequence. Watch it if you want to.
But he points out that Joffrey was neither wise nor good, and you need to be better. And
but
I can do that.
I would like to say that Tywin asks Tommen, hey, what kind of king are you going to be? And he's like, I don't know, a good one, which is kind of similar to what Rob said, which I love. Rest in peace, Rob. We still miss you.
We still miss you.
I miss having you as a best part. Yeah. Anyway,
definitely.
Oh, God, yeah. And then Tywin and Tommen leaving Cersei and the corpse, and Jaime comes in. He sends everybody out, and so it's just him, Cersei, and their son's dead corpse. Mm-hmm. And like the other corpse. Mm-hmm. Cersei thinks Tyrion did it. She's reminded of that line, once you are filled with joy, it will turn to ashes in your mouth, that Tyrion told her after the whole Shay was Ra's debacle thing in season 2. Then she basically wants Jaime to kill Tyrion without a trial. Jaime's like, no, I'm not going to do that. He's her brother. And also, we don't know if he did it. We'll find out in the trial. We'll get some more information about what happened in the trial.
And she's like, no, we need to kill him now. And
then Jaime, They kiss.
Kiss is completely consensual.
Then Jamie starts forcing himself on her, and she's like, no, not here, not here. They're doing it, like, against Joffrey's corpse. And then against his, like, funeral briar, whatever.
Briar? Altar?
Fuck if I know. Anyway, they're, like, doing it, and then she keeps saying no, and he's like, yes, why did I love a hateful woman, blah, 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 like, while he's screwing her right next to their dead son. Okay, it's so messed up.
Okay, so the way this comes
across... It's one of the most messed up thing Jamie does.
Right, yes. But this comes across as a rape. And in the book, it does not, but in the show, it 100% does, because even during Cersei saying no, 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 and I would point out this is one of those things about the worship of the seven that you don't like get to hear about. Like you see that there are seven like of these nuns or septas that like are around a body. What they have done is they have removed seven organs that are important and representative of each of the gods and put them in little jars like next to it. This is not the place to be having sex. It probably stinks to high heaven. It's disgusting. And
seven hells.
Right. Seven hells, as Ari would say.
Anyway, then later on, Ilaria and Oberon are getting it on.
Speaking
in the
places to do it.
Then Tywin interrupts and interrogates Oberyn about poisoning Joffrey because he apparently studied poison somehow.
Yeah, he studied poisons at Old Town, like to become a maester.
Which is so bizarre to me. Anyway, Oberyn blames Tywin for killing Elia, his sister. Via the mountain, all that stuff. And Tywin denies it, and Oberyn wants to talk to the mountain, and Tywin's like, I can arrange that if you be a judge at the trial for Tyrion. There are going to be three judges. I'll be presiding. Then Mace Tyrell, which I thought he was saying Maester Tyrell. Pycelle, that's what I mean.
No.
But anyway... I'm sorry.
Some really weird fucking effects where there were balloons.
I just said Mace Tyrell and Maester Pycelle. Like, why is that trigger balloons? Anyway, happy birthday! I'm sorry, balloons came across the Zoom screen, which is very bizarre. Anyway, yeah, Mace Tyrell, surprise! And... who is Marjorie's father, and he wants Oberyn to be the third. the third judge. And so Oberyn's like, fine.
You don't want Maesterel the third. Just you like
you want Oberyn as a third. He's welcome for anything.
Oberyn is into all of it. He mentions that in this scene.
And then Tywin is concerned about he's concerned about Daenerys in the dragons, which he never mentioned to Joffrey. He was very dismissive with Joffrey, but he is genuinely concerned. And he still has the Ironborn in the North to deal with. Like, he's a lot of shit going on.
And he wants Dorne back in the fold, basically. And so he also offers him this position on the Small Council.
Yeah, he basically offers reciprocal justice.
Right.
Justice for the son, the grandson that Tywin lost, and justice for his sister, Oberyn's sister.
Right. And he is concerned about Daenerys mostly because of the dragons. He's like,
I don't blame
dragons are a problem. Dragons are a big deal.
Then we go over to Podrick. He smuggles in some food and candles and tells Tyrion that he will have a trial in a fortnight. He gives him the rundown of the judges and asks for name for witnesses that Tyrion wants to call. Tyrion's like, hey, what about Sansa? She knows I wasn't planning anything. And then Podrick's like, she's out of town. She ran out of town. And he's like, well, shit. And he's like, well, did you think that she didn't? He's like, no, that's not her. She wouldn't kill anybody. And so then this very funny line of, they will be following you, Podrick. And then Podrick's like, who? And then he's like, they, the ominous they.
Tyrion's got some great lines in this scene. It's so good. Because he also says something about, well, you know, in this situation, and he's talking about the they, he's like, the only person I can rule out is my sister Cersei, because she's the only one who wouldn't kill Joffrey. And he's like, that is a rarity for any murder in King's Landing.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It is so great. But just this performance is really amazing.
They also won't allow him to see Bronn because he's a known like thief and like hitman guy.
And Podrick's like, look, Podrick, you've got to get out of town.
Well, no, Podrick was approached by someone on the prosecution. Yeah. About, hey, will you testify that you saw Tyrion by poison from this specific person, and a poison called the Strangler. Will you do that for money? And then Podrick's like, no. And so Tyrion's concern is that Podrick will be killed because of this, because he has information that obviously he didn't, and he's going to tell people about the blackmail. But Tyrion's very concerned about that, and so he sends Podrick away, and he's like, Podrick, this is farewell. And there has never lived a more noble squire. And that is so fucking true.
Yes, it is.
And that's it.
But I will say that this performance between the two of them is part of the reason you absolutely love Podrick. He's so, so great as a character.
Oh, he's wonderful.
He is. He's wonderful.
We love
him. So that is the episode.
Yep.
What are your best points?
Sam, for trying to get Gilly out of a bad situation. Shireen is funny, and Davos is funny. And Davos is just kind of like trying to deal with things in his own way. Podrick, of course, is wonderful because he's there and he's awesome. Arya, for trying to prevent the Hound from stealing from this really nice poor family who were kind enough to take them in, but of course that didn't do anything, but she at least tried. Dario is really fucking cool in this episode, and it like solidifies him as a really awesome cool guy. I think that I just like this guy. I like him. And Tyrion.
Yeah. I have Dario, Davos. Dario really is cool in this episode. Davos, John, because I love John. And he's, and again, you know, his vulnerability, but his strategic thing, I think, is great. Podrick's great. Arya's great. Oberyn's great. Tommen's great.
I do like Tommen.
I like Tommen in this. And I have something I cannot read that almost looks like Stannis, but that can't
be. Give me.
It's definitely not Stannis. I don't know what the fuck that is.
What the fuck is it? It has an eye in there, but like, what is that?
It's not Illyrian.
It cannot be Stannis, though.
No, it definitely can't be Stannis. So I don't know what the fuck that is, but there's an eye in there. What were your worst points?
Littlefinger, Jaime, and Cersei. Jesus Christ. Oh, especially Jaime. Yeah. And Gilly for being such a whiny bitch. Like, he's trying to save your life. Locke, the Thens, Alistair.
Oh, I forgot Alistair.
Alistair is a little bitch. Yeah, those are the ones I have. And Stannis. Stannis.
Yeah, Stannis is not on my list, but should be. Cersei and Jaime are like bleh, bleh. Tywin I put on my list because, yeah, maybe that was it. Tywin's possibly also a good part because, you know, I love some of the things that Tywin does, but I also hate that he's such a dick. And so he's kind of a good and bad.
It doesn't look like Tywin, though. You don't know why.
No, it doesn't. But I might have scribbled it with my glasses off because that happens sometimes because I don't like wearing glasses. The Hound. I hated in this for just killing those, or, you know, beating up those people and saying they were going to die. The Fens and the Wildlings and Gilly.
Yeah.
What grade did you give this episode?
C?
Yeah, I gave it a C, and then I wanted to put a plus on it just because I wanted to, and then I was like, no.
It's a C. It's so boring. Like, after the episode was over, I was like, nothing happened.
Nothing happened, and nothing, like, there are some good lines in there. There's some good performances in there, but it's not a good episode.
It's a C because of Dario.
Yeah, Dario.
Dario's great.
Dario's great. But again, you know, one of the problems I have with the show is when they do stuff like they give an episode the name of something involving the Daenerys thing, is very little happens with her. So it's kind of like that is not enough to make up for the other shit. So whatever.
All right. We'll
move on to
Oathkeeper. The sections are King's Landing, Beyond the Wall, Marine, the Night's Watch, and Boat.
I want to end with the Night's Watch.
Let's do Boat first.
Do
you want to do Beyond the Wall?
Beyond the Wall last. Beyond the Wall is last.
Sansa and Littlefinger are on Boat. Sansa and Littlefinger are on the way to the Eyrie because he's getting married to Lysa Arryn, the breastfeeding weirdo,
but she asks if he killed Joffrey, and Littlefinger tells Sansa that Kind of. See, he's like, that necklace that I gave you, that's
had poison.
It had poison in one of the stones. You noticed one of those was missing. And he's like, and she's like, but you're friends with the Lannisters. What the hell? He's like, you have to keep your enemies and your friends confused. Risk death to keep them confused. And she's like, that's
weird.
Not normal.
He also said he has new friends who wanted Joffrey dead. And right. He quotes this, new friendships grow strong. Growing strong, which are the Tyrell words. Right. I didn't mention it because I wanted to one-up you in this book.
Well done.
But I was like, well, I got them.
But he definitely says that Joffrey was not a reliable ally.
Oh, no shit, dude.
Yeah,
like,
no
kidding.
His new friends are predictable, reasonable people. Mm-hmm. And so we cut immediately to
we'll get there.
Other stuff. But
that's boat. Yes, boat. Do we want to do
King's Landing is a little boring.
Yeah, let's do King's Landing. We'll do King's Landing, then Marine.
Okay.
King's Landing. Actually, so no, let's do Marine. Let's do Marine. Masande is teaching Grey Worm how to speak English. They bond about being slaves. Mom,
it's not actually as cute as Shireen and Davos.
It's not. But also, they're not trying to make Shireen and Davos a romantic pairing. Thank God. So, because he still apparently has a wife somewhere. I don't know where, and I don't know who.
Grey Worm barely has a penis somewhere.
He doesn't have a penis anywhere, Mom. Anyway.
Which is why we're... Okay.
Anyway, they bond about being slaves
still
and where they're from. I still love him too. Some of the enslaved and freed slaves dress as slaves and sneak into the city of Meereen to talk the slaves into rebelling and give them weapons to help with the rebellion. So they write kill the masters in blood on a wall, and they kill the masters, and then Daenerys gets her Mother Teresa, Mother Khaleesi moment. Mother Khaleesi is what my roommate Sophie calls her, Mother Khaleesi.
I love you, Sophie.
I would always say like mother to all, and she's like Mother Khaleesi. Anyway,
Mother Khaleesi, like,
we love you, fire. Sophie. Miss you already.
Yes.
No, she's not dead. She's just on winter break like I am. Anyway, they win the revolt. She's having her Mother Khaleesi moment. And Daenerys wants to nail 163 of the masters to the post that they had slaves on the mile markers leading to Meereen.
Barristan tries to talk her out of it.
And she's like, I'll answer injustice with justice. I don't love the way she delivers that line. I don't know why. Nothing against Emilia Clarke. She's a wonderful actress and she does an awesome job with Daenerys. I just don't like the way she delivers that one line.
But I think what we're seeing with Daenerys is she's very much an eye for an eye person. And so it's kind of Old Testament kind of justice that she is wanting in this situation.
Flood them bitches.
Right. And this section ends with her standing on a balcony overlooking Meereen, hearing these screams of the crucified.
With a Targaryen flag flying over the aisle.
She is happy as fuck. It is not right. That is not right stuff. And the thing is, when I watch this series originally, she's very much put out there in media and everything else as this girl power symbol of stuff, and you start to really think about what she is and
what she's doing
it anymore.
And like I also liked Daenerys more on my first watch.
Oh sure.
And I just
we have the retrospective going on here, so we know a lot more now, but yeah.
Yeah, I think it just all goes back to that one line, I will answer injustice with justice. I think that the way she says it is so robotic that she's just kind of on overdrive right now. And it's not like a bad line delivery necessarily. It's just, I don't like the way that she's acting right now. Not the actress, but like Daenerys, the character, and her just being like on overdrive of like, okay, well, now that I've done this, I have to do this.
Yeah. I mean, and like, I want to make it clear, Amelia Clark's
amazing. Oh, she's fucking fantastic.
And she looks so good. Oh my God. Oh, the clothes, her outfits, oh my God,
and her hair. Awesome. Oh, awesome. So good.
Awesome. And she's doing a fantastic job.
She's it's very just, appealing she as a character.
My problem is she doesn't get too many moments of levity. Like, yeah. She's just always on overdrive trying to get the next thing, conquer the next thing.
But so is Cersei. And that's part of the reason.
But Cersei still had fun lines. So it's different.
Well, Daenerys does too. She burns people.
Sometimes, fun. But she just, I don't know, it's just different. It's fun. Anyway.
Yeah, it's fun. So where are we
King's
going?
Landing, and then we'll do Night's Watch, then Beyond the Wall. Okay, King's Landing. Jaime is getting better during his lessons, but he's still playing fair.
I love this. Bronn is sparring with him, gets Jaime's metal hand off,
and then punches him.
Knocks him down with it. And Jaime's like, hey, what you doing? He's like, I'm winning.
Bronn tells Jaime, like, they apparently, Jaime has not gone to see Tyrion, which is so disappointing because Tyrion loves him so much.
He does.
And Jaime does love Tyrion, but he still he's afraid of Cersei and how she'll react.
And of his dad.
But Bronn mentions that when they met, when he was his champion, when Bronn was his champion at the Vale, for the trial by combat, Tyrion's first choice was Jaime, and because he knew that Jaime would travel night and day to help his little brother out, and he would save him. And so once he tells him that, Jaime's like, okay, well, now I have to go. Mm-hmm. And he goes and he compares Tyrion's cell to his imprisonment. And he's like, oh, this is so much better. At least you get a pot to piss in and you're not chained to a post.
This is so great. This exchange is so great. Because Tyrion's like, oh, here we are, the Kingslayer brothers.
Well, Jaime asks if he killed Joffrey. And then Tyrion kind of teases it a bit like, oh, wow, look at us, the Kingslayer brothers. Do you like the sound of it? I like the sound of it. And then he's like, do you really have to ask me that? And then Jaime says, no. Do you really have to ask me if I would kill my own brother? Like, because he mentions that Cersei asked. And so they both kind of know the answer of, yeah, no, you wouldn't kill me and you wouldn't kill Joffrey. And also Tyrion calls Joffrey his son and he's like, don't go there. And it's plain as the nose on everyone's face that he is Joffrey's father, and Tyrion keeps mentioning it, and it gets to the point where it's just kind of a normal conversation. Tyrion knows that the trial won't matter, and Cersei will want him dead regardless. Even if he does make it out alive, Cersei will still hunt him down. So if she had her way, she would kill him before the trial. So it doesn't even matter. Cersei thinks that Sansa did it, but Sansa actually didn't. It's a whole thing.
Right. And I love this line from Tyrion as well. He's like, Sansa's not a killer. Yet.
Sansa might eventually get to that point, but she hasn't been pushed far enough.
Right. Because she's still a child.
Yeah. I mean, she's 14.
She still has that optimism. Like, maybe it will get better. Maybe it will get better.
Sees that. Marjorie wants to marry Tommen, but she doesn't know if anyone has agreed to that, to the match. Elena convinced
hilarious.
Elena mentions this whole story about how she was going to marry this Targaryen guy. She didn't like him all that much. Mm-hmm. This like ferret faced fuck. And
with silver hair.
Yeah. And so she wanted to marry the Tyrell guy. Mace.
No, that's her son. Daddy. Yeah.
Mace's daddy. And because her, I think, sister was going betrothed, to marry him, but they weren't betrothed yet. They were courting and they were going to be married. But the night before he was going to propose to her sister, she lost her way and ended up in his bedroom somehow.
Yeah, and, Elena seduced him, basically, is what it comes down to.
And he couldn't he physically couldn't walk down to propose to her sister.
And then he's like, nope, I want all of
that. I want Elena. And then she's like, I was good. I was very good.
And she's like, you're better.
But you're better. And you did a wonderful job with Joffrey. And she's like, yeah, whatever. And then Elena tells Marjorie
that she killed Joffrey because she wanted to protect her from him. And she's like, you didn't think that I would let that monster have his hands on you? Absolutely not. You still could have let, I mean, I understand the idea of like not letting them consummate the marriage as well, because he would like fuck her to death. Yeah, but he was an awful person. So at least you got the marriage part done. I think that was her whole plan. She didn't want them to consummate, but they did get the marriage part done.
Right.
Anyway, later on, is that it? That's it. Yeah.
So no. Then there's Cersei. Cersei.
Oh, Cersei, yes.
And she wants Jaime. She calls Jaime in as the head of the Kingsguard, and he's like, "I want more people around Tommen because Tommen's unsafe. Because you know, like, she's just convinced that Tyrion killed." Joffrey. But she also asks, and this is a whole thing, she's playing cat and mouse a little bit with Jaime, like, why did Catelyn let you free? And you swore to get her daughter.
What'd you promise?
Yeah, and he's like, I swore to get her daughters back to her. And she's like, well, if I sent you to kill that horrible murderer Sansa, and because she's, again, convinced Sansa's involved, you know, would you do it? And she can tell Jaime wouldn't. And she's like, I know you went to see Tyrion, and you know, I feel like that's disloyal. And Jaime's kind of like, what the fuck? You don't know anything. You know, and he's trying to say Tyrion didn't do it. You know, there's going to be a trial, whatever. And she wants someone at Tommen's door day and night. She doesn't feel safe, and basically dismisses Jaime in a very formal way.
Then one of my favorite scenes, in this episode. This is so good. Marjorie goes to Tommen's room to seduce him, and we find out about his cat, Sir Pounce, the icon. Great.
We love Sir Pounce almost as much as Yang, but not quite.
Oh wow!
No, not anywhere near as much as Yang, but still.
Oh, I see. I thought it was the other way around. I was like, wow. Okay, I thought we loved our cat more than that.
We do.
He's like a beautiful, not Yang, but Sir Pounce is like a beautiful, like Persian. Like, yeah. It's so cute. He's a fluffy boy. Anyway, we find out Tommen is very kind. He's such a sweet boy, and he is nothing like Joffrey. Joffrey often like said he would skin the cat and then. And feed it to him at dinner, like serve it to him at dinner. Joffrey's like awful. He was messed up, and she's like, "Hey, do you want? I can visit you again if you want." And he's like, "Yeah, I would like that."
Yeah, no.
And then she kisses his head instead of his mouth. Thank God, because he is a child.
Tommen is a total child. But one of the things that happens very early in this is like Tommen can't get to sleep, in part because he's got like the head of a boar on the wall that's got a
bolt. He's in Joffrey's room.
He's in Joffrey's room now. And it's just creepy. He's like kind of creeped out. And he's like, I want my cat. And then he's got Marjorie, and Marjorie's like, she's all the sex, right? I mean, she doesn't do anything. She's like, we just need to know each other better.
And I think it's weird that we wouldn't get to know each other if this was a true arranged marriage. But we gotta keep it a
secret.
Your mom doesn't need to know. I hope that we can have some secrets while we're married. And then he's like, yeah, okay, totally.
Sure, yeah, because you're gorgeous. Oh my God.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Oh, Natalie Dormer. Oh my God. So that is amazing. Then we go to Brienne and Jaime, and they discuss the fact that, you know, Jaime doesn't have very much in the book. Jaime gives her the Valyrian steel sword, and which we later learn, and she names it Oathkeeper. And he also gives her armor, and he's like, you need to keep my oath because I can't do it. Like,
find and protect Sansa.
Yeah, Sansa's still out there. You need to go find her. Find her, protect her, get her somewhere safe, because he knows that Cersei's looking now. He's
also, here's Podrick as a squire.
Yes, he gives her Podrick as a squire because Podrick needs to get out of town.
And Bronn gives Podrick his axe.
Tyrion's axe.
The axe that he used to save Tyrion at the Blackwater. And then Brienne names the Valyrian sword Oathkeeper.
And they say goodbye. And it actually is very emotional. It's very nice. Yeah, it is.
It's very nice. anyway.
So shall we go to Castle Black?
Yes, Night's Watch. John is teaching people how to fight wildlings because that's his whole purpose of the Night's Watch.
Well, he's trying to train people because no one else knows. Well, and no one else is making an effort.
Yeah, why aren't they doing that? That's so fucking stupid. Right, anyway. So
Child Ollie is very...
He wants to learn how to fight. He was like, I was our best archer in the town. And then everyone laughs at him. And I'm like, it's better than you fuckers. Jesus.
Yeah, he's not a rapist.
Not yet.
Locke comes in.
I'm kidding. He's a child.
Yes. Locke is paired up with one of the fighters. And clearly he can fight well. And John's impressed.
He doesn't hold back.
Impressed by that. Sir Alistair sees John is like, you're not supposed to be training.
You're a steward, bitch. You're a steward. I'm like, do you want him to be your steward and want to slit your throat in your sleep?
Yeah,
like,
that'd be good. But Sir Alistair's walking around with this guy from the City Watch. And this guy from the City Watch is like, look, they all hate you because you just sent, for a bunch of reasons, but you also just sent John off. And you need to be a little more popular. There's a choosing that will be coming.
Yeah. Also, you could send John north of the wall to, and only volunteers, and you could get rid of John and with him like trying to get the mutineers to die.
Yeah. Because
why did I phrase it like that? The mutineers. Anyway, Sam is scared for Gilly with the wildlings raiding nearby villages, which is valid. Yeah. Then John knows about Bran going beyond the wall, and he wants to go he wants to go and find them. But he's also concerned that Bran went to Craster's keep, and Locke, of course, overhears this because Locke's he's like, everywhere. Yeah, baby,
let's go to Craster's.
And so Alistair tells John to go to Craster's and to gather only volunteers to go with him. He will only send him and some volunteers. He underestimates how popular John is.
Right. He's like, yeah, you can recruit some people. Good luck with that. Because he's thinking he's just sending John to his dad.
And so John gives an inspirational speech, and quite a few men, including Bran, Pip, Ed, and Locke, volunteer. Yeah. Locke says, okay, I'll do my vows and then I'll go with you. Right, we all know that you need fighters. I'm a good fighter. So let me go with you so I can kill your brother.
Right. And Locke, because John actually said, you're just a recruit. We can't take recruits beyond the wall. And Locke's like, fine, I'll take my vows. It's fine. And Alistair's like, sure, whatever.
Quite a few people go with him. And it's like quite a bit of the Night's Watch are deciding to go with him to avenge Mormont and to kill the mutineers. Meanwhile, beyond the wall, Willem
still ghost. We first hear ghost growling at like about fucking time. I missed you, ghost.
Willem is drinking out of Mormont's skull like a creep.
He's a fucking
the men creepy. Are raping the daughters until they die.
So
they
sick.
Still hold ghost and feed him because. Reasons. Yeah, he's a cool dire wolf and they want him to live, and I want him to live, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, but Willem starts taunting the rapist and the guy who actually killed Lord Commander Mormont.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about what a great fighter he is and how he did shit when he was in
King's Landing. Someone also gave birth to a boy. He's the last of Craster's sons and like children.
All the daughters start rocking back and forth and saying gift for the gods,
gift for the gods. And then they have to give him up as a gift to the White Walkers.
And they're going, and
so he gives the boy to the little boy to the rapist and sends him off into the woods. And he
says you gotta go feed the ghost anyway.
And so. he like places the baby in the woods. It's a cute baby.
Yes. Oh, the sweetest.
Such a cute
boy.
Baby.
And then it's so awful.
And then the rapist is starting to head back. We hear crows and ravens in the background, so we know the White Walker is there and picking up baby. And then he drops by Ghost's cage. He gives him the food,
but doesn't give him any water.
Yeah, Ghost, he just pours out the water, and poor Ghost is so thirsty. Leave the poor boy alone.
Yeah, and he growls at him and jumps at the cage and scares him. And so Rapist starts running away.
And then we go over to Bran, who is also beyond the wall.
He hears it.
Hodor and the others hear the baby. crying, and Bran walks into Summer to investigate. He sees Ghost in the cage, but Summer gets caught in a trap. I don't know what led them to believe that it was a good idea to do that, but I mean, it works. You got a direwolf out of it. Great.
Yeah, so they then go, they being Mira,
Bran and the gang
go, and Mira's like, there's something wrong with these guys who are Night's Watch
people. She sees them raping women.
Right.
And she's like, I'm the only woman here. I don't want to deal with this.
Gotta go. And of course, she's trying to like go.
But of course, Bran wants to get Summer back. So Bran's like, we need to stay and we need to get Summer back.
And she's like, I'll go get the wolf. She turns to go and she is
knocked out
and they're caught by the god awful
rapists. And then Hodor is taunted and tortured with like a chain around his neck and he's stabbed. The
spear is horrible.
He's not dead, but he's stabbed. They are taken to the three of them, Jojen, Mira, and Bran are taken to Willem. He figures out that they are highborn because of their clothes. Jojen has a seizure, and then Willem threatens Mira until Bran tells him who he is.
Right.
He also strikes Bran. It's a whole thing. Bran's like, I'm Brandon Stark of Winterfell. Now let them go. And then he's like, oh, it's Jon's brother.
Yeah.
We can use this. My day just got much better. And
then we cut to the whole reason that I had this drink to begin with.
The White Walker General.
Do I get to talk a little bit, please? So the White Walker General takes the baby and it's riding one of those dead, icky zombie horses and carries the baby. You get the feeling it's very far north. And he puts the baby on an ice altar and the baby is crying. And we see for the first time one of the creepiest, scariest characters in all of the show. And you know, the real villain, which is the Night King. And the Night King, he is super cool looking. He has
a crown of ice and like horns
and
on his
scary
head.
Blue eyes and these long creepy nails. And he touches the baby and the baby freezes into and turns into a White Walker. You see his eyes turn blue.
I think it's a White Walker, not a white.
Right. So
you have to do it from birth.
Right. So the White Walker generals, I think, are these White Walkers.
Turned by the Night King specifically.
Right. As opposed to whites who are just dead people were turned afterwards.
But if you're living and you're turned into a White Walker, you're a White Walker.
Yeah.
Not a white.
Creepy as all fucking get out. And it is scary.
It is.
And this whole, what they're really fighting, becomes very, very clear in this scene.
Yep. So that's the end of the episode.
It is. What were your best parts?
Missandei and Grey Worm are cute. Olenna is funny, and I love that she killed Joffrey. Sir Pounce is an icon, and we love him. Jaime for at least talking to Tyrion about stuff and trying to do the right thing and keeping Sansa safe and sending Brienne and giving her the sword and all that stuff. Podrick for being present and being awesome. Ghost for being present and being awesome. And Hodor. And also the ending is really freaking cool.
It is.
That poor baby.
Yeah, mine are all out of order, but the Night King is the scariest fucking villain, period. Just the scariest. So the Night King, which is best part, worst part, you know, all the things. Hodor, because Hodor. Ghost is awesome. Bran actually is very good in this because he's defending others. Mira, I think, is great. She's very brave. Jaime, I think, is really very good in this episode. Brienne is great. Grey Worm is great. Podrick, love him. Marjorie's great in this. Tom is great in this. And John and the boys.
I love Marjorie John and, boys. And John.
John and the boys, definitely. What are your worst parts?
Littlefinger. I love how I made one of the halves of the killing Joffrey duo one of my best parts, while Littlefinger is the worst part always. Cersei for being an awful person. And I understand that she thinks that Tyrion killed her son, but she doesn't know that. She doesn't know. And also, Joffrey was hated by everybody. It could be
anybody. Why didn't Lynette why didn't the net girlfriend?
Literally. And Willem, Alistair, not listening to Mira. Mira noticed, she clocked that they were raping girls. Rapist. Which is awful for her as the only girl in the fucking group. And the only one with emotional fucking intelligence, you fucking fucktards. So please, God, just listen to Mira. Mira notices these things because she's a woman and she doesn't want to get fucking raped. Yeah. So please just listen to her when she says, I don't want to be here for long, if at all. Please don't do this to me. But of course, they are just like, we want Summer. I want Summer too. But I also just realized that Summer is a he. I thought Summer was a girl.
No, it sounds a he.
Well, Summer. Anyway, we want Summer to be okay, sure, but at the cost of Mira's virtue, life, etc., not worth it. No. I love you, Summer, but four people's lives compared to you. I'm sorry, Summer, but you could have just moved on and come back. Or gone to a more strategic part of the camp where Summer actually was.
That would have made more sense.
It would have made way more sense.
Do you have anything else?
No.
All right. So I've got Daenerys because her laughing or being happy about the torture of these people is bad. Cersei, of course.
They were slavers.
Right. So, but again.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah. Okay. Cersei, fucking awful. Locke, terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Willem, the rapist, and Littlefinger. There are other terrible things in this, but those are my big ones.
I'm adding Locke and the rapist.
Yeah. So what grade did you give this episode?
B.
I gave it a higher grade. I gave it like A minus, B plus. I think B plus is probably more accurate.
And yeah, the Night King doesn't save it for me. At least this is leading to some interesting stuff.
No,
but especially like at Wildling Camp, Craster's Keep, a lot of stuff is going to be interesting there and kind of infuriating, but it's okay. Really infuriating this time. You thought that last time where John was going to the same place that Bran was and he didn't clock that there were like direwolves bothered you? Just wait!
Oh, near misses are not over
it
for this series.
It fucking pisses me off.
Near misses are not over for this series, people. And we hope that, you know, yeah, we are looking forward to sharing a whole bunch of stuff that happens because there is more action in season four. And again, I've struggled with knowing exactly the differences between season four and season five and season three even. So it is interesting to me. We're in the thick of it now. We're in the shit, people. We want you to be in the shit with us. We want you to be watching this show along with us. We want you to comment, give us feedback. We're interested in what you're interested in. And we hope, and I also want to note this, we still have our listener in Frankfurt, and I'm so excited.
Oh, I love that. Hi,
Frankfurt. We love you, Frankfurt.
Until you give us an actual name, we're calling you Frankfurt.
And we love you.
Interact with our Facebook if you really want to. But
yes.
we just appreciate that you're here and that we're not the only ones listening.
Right, exactly.
Because we do listen back and we take notes of ourselves and we try to make this show as best as the best it can be.
Right.
And we appreciate any feedback, any listeners or anything like that. We're glad that you enjoyed this show or us talking about this show, which I don't know how,
but
we appreciate you all the same.
We're having good drinks, girlfriend.
Oh yeah. if you're just here for the cocktails, we're also glad that you're here. We're so happy to have you. We're so thankful that anybody listens to the show.
Exactly.
It's just us rambling about the stuff we love and we love to hate sometimes. It's great. Yes,
absolutely. We want you to join us. We hope that you're enjoying yourselves. And
cheers.